Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Baru Gold, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol BARU and on the OTC markets under the symbol BARUF. Shad and I are chatting with the CEO and chairman, Terry Filbert. Now, just to bring everybody up to speed, Baru is focused in Indonesia at the Sangihe Gold Project. The company is moving into construction, which I believe is starting this week. Terry, take us through this move into construction, what it looks like to get to some actual production here, please.
Well, thank you for having us back on here again. Basically, we've been finishing off the land acquisition, and we'll start construction the next week or so, next week, as of the end of the week here already. Once we have that started, we're basically focused to get ourselves into production and probably pouring early next year. Production will be starting sometime later this year, but the pour will start early next year.
Well, Terry, also just walk us through what the ramp-up process is like. For some mines, it's very complicated, and they've got all these steps to kind of do teething and get up to speed over 6 months or 12 months. It sounds like your process is going to be a lot simpler and a lot faster to get to nameplate production. So walk us through that ramp-up and what it looks like.
Okay, well, we're basically opening up a pit, which is at surface oxides, which are much less complicated to process than the sulfides. That'll start right away. We're building two heap leach pads of 100,000 ton each, but one pad will be running at any moment. The other pad will be being either rebuilt or tore down, so it's ready to go when the other pad is completed its production process. So those will be fairly quick to put together for the reason we're using an area which is already completely flat. And so there's not a lot of engineering that needs to be done on it to basically build those pads up. The gold rooms, the ponds, all those will be done over the next 60 days as well, the tailing ponds. So we should be able to turn on the spigot probably within about 60 days. Spigot on, we're basically turning on the, we'll have loaded the pads and running the chemicals through the pads. And then once that 45-day turn for the process has gone through, we'll start probably within 30 days, we'll start basically processing some of the gold. So we're using carbon capture, using more artisanal systems. So it's using carbon capture, which allows us to start pulling out the heavy metals and gold included in around 30 days and processing that.
All right, Terry, if you could just remind everybody what the resource stands at here and then what the actual production estimates or metrics look like as you do get into production and then ramp up from there.
Well, right now we're sitting on a resource inferred and indicated of 219,000 ounces. We are currently working on a pit, which will, there's two pits together, but they're right next to each other, 58,800 ounces indicated oxides at surface. Those are where we'll be getting around 1,000 ounces a month out of those pits using these heap leach pads. And that's at 100% recovery. So over the first few months, we'll be building up recovery. But once we're in a full recovery, we'll basically have around 100,000, we'll be having about 1,000 ounces a month. At the same time, we'll basically be adding a Merrill-Crowe plant, which will allow us to basically size the system up higher. We can then scale the project, and after 24 months we are targeting 4,000 ounces a month after 24 months once we have the Merrill-Crowe plant, and Merrill-Crowe plant will take about a year to basically install and get into production.
Well, Terry, let's shift over now to some of the exploration focus the company has. You've embarked on a 25,000 meter drill program, and this is going to be at Sangihe around that Bin Basin and Bawone area. So just walk us up to, or bring us up to speed on what the goals of this program are and any targets you're excited about.
Well, basically, we have a 2010 43-101 between Bini Basin and Bawone, the two ore bodies you talked about. And we're actually working on Bini Basin ore, and the ore we're dealing with is in the Bini Basin area right now. But between Bini Basin and Bawone, they actually have a 835,000 inferred resource, 835,000 ounce, inferred resource. And we wish to basically bring that up into measured indicated. So we'll be doing a infill drilling program between those two ore bodies. And then this anomaly goes along another, I think, 1.7 kilometers to the next shoreline to below the village of San Laurent, and we'll be drilling along that area as well. And so once we drill that out, we hope to basically be able to build this resource pretty seriously up to a higher level. So we'll start with the exploration drilling between Bouani and San Laurent. And then after that, we will then go back and find the hot spots and do infill drilling.
What's the budget going to be for this program, Terry? And how much cash does the company have to move through this drill program?
The drill program would be pretty much financed out of cash flow. It's because we're starting a little earlier than we had planned. We didn't really plan to start until we were in cash flow, but we're starting a few months earlier. Mainly, we also need the drill rig for grade control. So the idea of the drill rig is an RC rig will go between the grade control for 2 weeks and it'll go to exploration drilling for 2 weeks. But basically, we will have around a 1 year program, and it'll be about $1.5 million for that 1 year program using this RC rig after 25,000 meters. If we were doing only drilling exclusively for exploration, it would take about 6 months. But because we're using it also for the production side, it's going to be drawn out. As for getting to production, we have enough cash right now to go into production. So that's not an issue. So, and, you know, we do believe that, we're keeping our costs fairly tight. We're using artisanal processing. And without the Numero-Cro plan in place, we can get to 1,000 ounces a month comfortably. But going higher than that, we're going to need the Numero-Cro plan to be able to scale this properly.
Well, Terry, just to bring it up briefly, last time we talked, I know there was a particular group, an environmentalist group that was doing the Save Sangihe, program. And I just wanted to catch everybody up to speed because we do get a few questions on that. How have things progressed on the social licensing and where are things at as far as all that relates?
Well, we've got a lot of support on the island. I mean, the SSI people are basically funded by the illegal miners that were unhappy that we came onto the island and started to operate our license. They've created, they've funded a process trying to get us off the island. And they're trying to get, the way of doing that is basically try to, interrupt our license. They did not sue us directly. They sued actually the mining department of Indonesia saying they shouldn't have given us the license. But that's been going very well. I mean, it's basically a harassment lawsuit and, we don't believe there's any issues on that other than they're using it for, a lot of publicity, and it's been, unfortunately, negative publicity. But we have the entire island has been very, very supportive. I mean, we have support from the local government there on the island. We have support from especially the villagers, because this is their first chance, to really have some kind of economy outside of subsistence farming or fishing. And so, they get a chance to, make some money on selling some of the land. They also get a chance to basically work on the island in mining, where a lot of them actually go off the island to basically do mining jobs. And with that, because we have such a great HR of mining experience from the island, we're hiring 70% of the people from the island for our mining positions. Which is great because the money stays on the island, it goes back to the economy. So all the local merchants are very excited about this. So no, it's going really well. I mean, what you hear in, from SSI is not reality, and they're just trying to basically, make it difficult for us to, and we've made it very difficult for the illegal miners, so they've been having an issue. And also, we've also shown that they've been putting a lot of mercury into the environment there, where there's one stream we found that they had dumped about 4,000 times the legal limit of mercury into the water there. So, which is poisoning from the locals. And they're not real happy about that either. And actually, the locals did have a protest against the illegal miners for that reason. So they're getting a lot of pressure, but, they're trying to, they've gotten a bunch of good gold off the land, which shows that we have a good license there. But at the same time, it's not their gold; it's the government's gold, and we have the license to bring it out.
All right, Terry, thanks for addressing that question. Look, we're going to wrap it up here. Keep us up to date on as the company moves into this or through this construction phase and into production, and also that drill program that is underway right now. Well, if anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com, and we will get those answered for you. Again, Terry, keep us up to date on the news. Thanks for the update today.
Thank you very much for having us.